I don't know how I ever cooked under such austere conditions for Srila Prabhupada. In Bhubaneswar and different places, I would cook in a little shack in the fields. Now, this is probably the David Dasman. Right? I was covered with black from the wood smoke, and I was full of smoke. My eyes would be bloodshot red, constantly tearing. But I couldn't open the door, because all sorts of Indians were constantly coming. If I opened the door, they would just stand there and watch me cook, and I couldn't do that. It was Prabhupada's offering. Every once in a while, I'd suddenly get up. I'd hardly be able to breathe. All of a sudden, you'd hear me because I'd just crash out of the door. The door would fly open, and I'd just stand there and pant, pant. I would try to get air, just enough to go back in and cook. Krishna empowered me to do that at that time because I could never do such a thing again, and I don't know how I ever did it. I would just go to any place where Prabhupada was, even if there were no facilities, and I would set up and cook for him. It is Prabhupada's association. It does something that is completely beyond this material world. And I didn't mind it. I loved it the whole time. I would go on like this, cooking for him all morning long. When it came time for me to serve him, my white sari would be black. My face would have soot all over it. My eyes would be bloodshot, puffy, and swollen from crying. And when I went into Prabhupada's room with his plate, he wouldn't even blink an eyelash. It didn't faze him. It was just as though I were there in the best of silk saris or something. It didn't matter what things would go on, Prabhupada would be in his transcendental position, equipoise. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, second canon, chapter 7, text 52. Yatha
Paro
Bhagavati
Dhinam
Bhakti
Pravishyati
Sarva Atmani Akhila
Athare Yati
Sankopya
Varnaya
Yathā-hara-bhagavati
Nīnāṁ-bhakti-bhavishyati Nīnāṁ-bhakti-bhavishyati
Sarvātmanyākhilādhāre
Sarvātmanyākhilādhāre
Iti-saṅkopya-varnaya
Yathā
As much as the personality of Godhead. Bhagavati.
Bhagavati.
Unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
Ninam.
Ninam.
For human beings.
For human beings.
Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Bhavishyati.
Bhavishyati.
Become enlightened.
Become enlightened.
Sarvātmani.
Sarvātmani.
The absolute whole.
The absolute whole.
Akhila Ādhāre.
Akhila Ādhāre.
Unto the summum bonum.
Unto the summum bonum.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Sankopya.
Sankopya.
By determination.
By determination.
Varnaya.
Varnaya.
Describe.
Describe.
Translation. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination, and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for a human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Hari, the super soul of every living being, and the summum bonum source of all energies. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and the scientific presentation of man's relationship with the Supreme Personality Godhead. Prior to the age of Kali, there was no need for such a book of knowledge to know the Lord and his potential energies. But with the beginning of the age of Kali, human society gradually became influenced by four simple principles, namely illegitimate connection with women, intoxication, gambling, and unnecessary killing of animals. Because of these basic simple acts, man gradually became forgetful of his eternal relation with God. Therefore, man became blind, so to speak, to his ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is not to pass a life of irresponsibility like the animals and indulge in a polished way in the four animal principles, namely eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. For such a blind human society in the darkness of ignorance, Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight to see things in proper perspective. Therefore, it was necessary to describe the science of God from the very beginning, or from the very birth of the phenomenal world. As we've already explained, Srimad Bhagavatam is so scientifically presented that any sincere student of this great science will be able to understand the science of God simply by reading it with attention, or simply by regularly hearing it from the bona fide speaker. Everyone is hankering after happiness in life, but in this age, the members of human society, blind as they are, do not have the proper vision that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all happiness, because He is the ultimate source of everything, Janmayastha. Happiness in complete perfection, without hindrance, can be achieved only by our devotional relationship with Him. And it is only by His association that we can get free of distressful material existence. Even those who are after the enjoyment of this material world can also take shelter of the great science of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they will be successful at the end. Narada is therefore requested, or ordered, by his spiritual master to present this science with determination and in good plan. Narada was never advised to preach the principles of Bhagavatam to earn a livelihood. He was ordered by his spiritual master to take the matter very seriously in a missionary spirit. Om Vigyana Chimalandasya Dhyananjana Swakya Chakshun Duvetanlena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. What do we mean when we say that Bhagavad Dharma is a science? Generally, when people think of science, they think of you're going into a laboratory and with your senses verifying that such and such is so. Science, as people conventionally know it, means verification or confirmation by your material senses. So sometimes people wonder, how do you say that there's a science of God? How do you say that Bhagavad Dharma is scientific? First of all, we point out, Bhagavad Dharma can be verified. Krishna states that in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Vidya, Avitam, Paramam, Pratyaksha, Paramam, Dharma. Pratyaksha, Krishna says, you can, with your senses, perceive this Raja Vidya, this king of knowledge, and you will be joyful. Susukam Parthamandi. Now, not exactly with your material senses. Actually, bhakti is meant for these spiritual senses. People don't understand that in your perfectional stage, you have senses. Therefore, they think that if there's going to be something spiritual, senses can't be involved. That is not the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam is that you have eternal senses and the Supreme Lord has eternal senses. And when the eternal senses are engaged with the senses of the Supreme Eternal, then that is perfection. In the material world, we are struggling with our material senses. Manushasthan Indriyani, Prakritisthani Karshati. Five senses, six including the mind. Just because the material senses are imperfect and give us so much trouble, doesn't mean that you should throw them out in your idea of perfection. Bhakti is actually for the spiritual senses. And there is a process by which you can purify your existence, so that your spiritual senses come into play. The Hare Krishna mantra, Prasad, Srimad Bhagavatam, the deities, they're actually for the spiritual senses. Atat Sri Krishna Namadi, Navadegrayanindri. No one can understand the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna with their gross material senses. But How do you enter into the world of transcendental, perfect sense activity? Seva mukini jivada swayameva sprakita. Simply by using your tongue to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and to taste prasad, your entrance into the world of spiritual senses and sense objects is made. And then you can perceive, but you have to have qualification. We've explained it quite a few times that the desire to experience God without qualification is demoniac. This is what Hiranyakashipu was advocating. He demanded of Prahlad, "You talk about God. Where is he? Why can't I see him?" Therefore, since it's obvious that you're speaking nonsense, you're talking about a God that no one can see, I'll just chop off your head. And then, I want to see your God come and save you. Obviously, there's no God because we can't see him. So I will kindly chop off your head, even though you're my son, and that will be your fate for talking about such nonsense things like God, things which cannot be verified with the material senses. Prahlad Maharaj, however, saw Lord Nisringadev while Hiranyakashipu was speaking like that. Prahlad, he can see the Lord everywhere, therefore he saw Lord Nisringadev peeping out from a pillar, preparing to pounce on Hiranyakashipu, giving Prahlad assurance, "Yes, yes, as you know, I'm here, and now I will kill your father." Generally, if someone comes to kill your father, you will protest. But Prahlad, although he did not protest when his father tried to kill him, he also did not protest when Lord Vishnu came to kill his father. Vaishnavas are not into performing defense maneuvers. They're not into defending themselves. Vaishnavas think that if I'm defending them, that's... It's true in some way. If it's not particularly true in the particular incident that someone's accused me of, it's probably true in another incident. Vaishnavas do not make good defenders of themselves. And often people misunderstand that. Sometimes even devotees misunderstand that. You did not take to Krishna consciousness to become a defense attorney for yourself. You came to admit your sinful and fallen nature and take up steps to rectify yourself. Materialists don't understand this, how devotees are not very quick to defend themselves in terms of accusations. Because the material world means, whether you're right or wrong, always defend yourself. If someone points out some fault in you, immediately hire an attorney and show the other person is wrong. Vaishnava life is something else. You always think, I have all the faults. So even if the person may have made a mistake and accused me of this thing, actually, I'm doing another thing that they should have actually accused me of. So, this is how a devotee thinks. Prahlad Maharaj, although he's tortured by his father, he did not even pray to the Lord to save him. He simply remembered the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. Then Lord Nisringadev came to protect his devotee and annihilate the miscreant and killed his father. And afterwards, Prahlad Maharaj garlanded the Supreme Lord. If someone comes to and kills your father, will you garland the person? Bhakti is an affair beyond material conceptions. And Prahlad Maharaj vividly demonstrates that point. How do we gain entrance into the spiritual sense world of Bhakti Yoga? We require purification. Therefore, it is very important that we have a plan in our life for how we're going to be purified. Happiness will automatically be there in Krishna consciousness if there is a plan for purification. We need to recognize that we are carrying around the burdens of sinful desires. The body itself is a mechanism formed by sinful desires. In other words, when you look at your body, don't just look and see flesh and blood and nails and hair. You should also see sinful desires. They actually have formed the body. So it's no wonder that you can become besieged by sinful desires, because the body is nothing but sinful desires. When we say the body, we also mean the mind too. The mind is a body. An intelligent devotee sorts himself, herself out with a plan. How am I going to become purified? And then based on that, you can analyze your whole life to see how you are achieving that goal. How is this decision or this situation contributing to my purification? Why do you want to become purified? Because you want to be a qualified servant of the Supreme Lord. Just like if you want to do anything in this world. If you want to be a scientist, you must train in the university. No matter what, requires some training to play sports. So many things. You have to train. Now, why not become prepared to be a qualified servant of Krishna? To think, I want to become purified. Now, how will I arrange that? What's the best thing for my purification? That is intelligent. Once you have that as your goal, it's easy to make decisions further on down the line. You can analyze everything in the life of purification. Will this help me in my program of cleansing, or will it not? Just like when you're on some special diet, or you're taking some alternative health treatment, you have a program, and you stick to it because you want to achieve the result. Now, Krishna consciousness is like that. We have to have in mind, my goal is to become free from lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. Now, let me make decisions based on that. Then there'll be progress. When we have as our goal, I want to be a qualified servant of Krishna, that means I must become free of so many things that are impeding devotional service. When that is your goal, then things become clear, what to do, what not to do. And certainly we require guidance. Bhakti yoga requires advice. Sometimes we don't like that. But that is the nature of the process that Krishna gives. It requires advice how to purify yourself while living in an impure world. Not easy. It can be done. Therefore, if you have advice and you have the proper goals set out in front of you, you can make proper decisions. And that is what it's all about. How to make proper decisions to achieve my goal of becoming a qualified servant of Krishna. That is the highest goal. And it takes some preparation, it takes striving, it takes determination. Rupa Goswami says, Vatsala, Nishchaya, Dharya. Enthusiasm, patience, determination. Without enthusiasm, that's the first thing, nothing gets done. Sometimes the younger devotees, they're brashly enthusiastic. And sometimes the older devotees, they feel that enthusiasm is a disturbance. But no, enthusiasm is necessary in all phases of spiritual life. Simply we have to have enthusiasm based on knowledge. And then we push forward with determination and patience. We become aware of our own impediments. We become aware of things we need to change in ourselves. That awareness is coming very nicely and easily if you associate with devotees. But if you go on your own, it's very easy to take whatever you think and do very seriously. And soon you become locked up inside your own head, and I think every thought that comes to your mind is so valuable and significant. And then you have no way of checking yourself. Living with devotees, living near devotees, being in touch with devotees means you have feedback. You should all want that. You should want feedback from others about how to make progress towards purification. That is the real purpose of associating with devotees. Feedback about purification and, of course, impetus to serve Krishna and the pleasure of hearing discussions and kirtan about Krishna. For these things, you can rely on devotees. Otherwise, sometimes we lose track of the goal. And there are upheavals in this world. The very nature of this world is to be tossing. like the waves in the ocean. You cannot iron out all the waves in the ocean. Similarly, you cannot take the troubles out of this world. But you can learn how to steer, how to navigate through the choppy seas. And that is what Bhakti Yoga teaches you. That art of how to navigate through stormy seas comes if you're humble, if you admit that actually the whole quest is beyond me, except that I have Krishna's help. As soon as we begin to think, oh, I'm very competent, I'm very expert, just see how nicely I'm doing things. My mind has been peaceful for 2 hours. I must be a great saint. Soon as that comes, then everything is spoiled. And it is amazing how quickly we become proud in Kali Yuga. Amazing. When you actually think about it, there's nothing we can be proud of. Our hold on good health that we have it is so slight. Our freedom from anxiety that we have it is so slight. We're living in a very degraded world in which sinful activity is organized to an extent not present, to an extent you cannot remember when it was like this before. Someone was saying to you, well, things have always been distressful in the material world. The Middle Ages, the Roman Empire, they had their distresses then too. Why do we think that now is so special in terms of distress? Statistically, you can show that things are indeed more distressful now. And furthermore, never in recent memory has there been a time when sinful activity has been so organized and flung in everyone's face. It's never been like that before. The four sinful activities that Prabhupada mentions in this purport are pushed by practically every government in the world now. They will organize sinful activities for you, but they'll never organize your God consciousness. Well, then that's being sectarian. But to present to you illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication, well, that is helping the people. To present Bhagavad Dharma, this is sectarian. Never before have you seen such global organization of sinful activity. But the people are calling that progress. The international marketplace all linked together. Nations working together in East Timor to stop the destruction of innocent people's homes and lives. No, these governments, for the most part, almost simply destroy. They destroy people's spiritual potential by organized sinful activities. Even from the statistical point of view, you can see that things are more distressing now. For example, it has just been calculated that, let's take the years from 1 AD, the appearance of Christ, to now, almost the year 2000. That's 2,000 years. So the fact is that in the past 100 years, this 20th century, more than 3 times as many people have died from violent conflicts in this century than in all the 1900 years combined. That is a fact. So where is progress? You take everyone who's died in a violent conflict, wars, rebellions, from the year 1 AD to 1900 AD, multiply it by 3, and still you can't catch up with the death rate for the 20th century. There's progress for you. So that's what I tell people when they say, oh, you know, it's not that bad, or things have always been bad. No. Prabhupada always said, all your technological advancement is simply going for how to kill people better. And that's exactly what's happened. And you used to take pride that the scientists have eradicated disease. Actually, what's going on? The very diseases that they were supposed to have gotten rid of, they're desperately trying to recreate and preserve in their laboratories for chemical warfare. It's like smallpox. It's a great pride that smallpox is no longer a threat. It's been removed from the world. has not been removed. Militaries are very anxiously, because holding on to smallpox germs for possible military use. Everyone's doing it. The so-called good guys are doing it because, well, we have to know how to combat it in case the bad guys use it against us, so we need to preserve some strains of smallpox just so we can develop resistances to it. Anthrax, a horrible disease in the Middle Ages. We used to be able to take pride. Our societies, our scientists, are getting rid of all these old diseases. No, they're preserving them in laboratories and figuring out how to spread them everywhere through ventilation systems, through city water supplies. This is the result when technology is used by those who aren't purified. So what do we have to be proud of? It's a premium these days to get fresh air, fresh water, fresh food. Something any savage in the jungle can get. Now you have to pay a premium. In the cities, to get that. And most importantly, people's consciousness is being destroyed. They're full of anxiety, always playing video games, playing with computers, watching unlimited television. And this way, they're completely on edge. They have no peace of mind. That doesn't count as an asset anymore, peace of mind. In these circumstances, how can anyone be proud? These are very disturbed times, and these times are producing very disturbed people. If you start talking to, right here in New Zealand, talk to 15-year-olds in the cities, in the towns, you'll be shocked at what they're doing. Each generation has gotten further and further out. Now, it is quite normal for 15-year-olds to engage in all the sinful activities. It's not the exception, it's not the bad girls, the bad boys in town, in the city. It's everyone. And if such sinful activities are not engaged in at the age of 15, your reputation spreads throughout the school and everyone laughs at you. I hear this all the time, I appreciate it. What happens if, for example, there's a girl who wants to be chased and she's reached the age of 15? The boys, first of all, spread the news throughout the whole high school. And then the other girls, who they're already giving in, they make fun of the girl. The boys tell the other girls, then the girls get on the case of the girl who's trying to be chased. And this way it's a whole pressure by both the young girls, by the girls and the boys in the high school. Pressure her. She's not giving in. The word spreads throughout the whole school. You can take her out somewhere, but the culmination will not be achieved. The boys hate that. So then they enlist the other girls on their side. They tell everything about the girl. So that, yes, she wouldn't do this, she wouldn't do that. And then the other girls go and get on the girl's case. Like, who do you think you are? This is what's going on. 15 is normal. Now, okay, 12 years old, that's a little, special. 15, forget about it. Don't even wonder about it. This is what's going on. I know there's one devotee in Wellington. He was in his late teens. He was going out with one girl. And somehow he decided that, actually, these illicit connections, it doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem to be the purpose of human life. So he told his girlfriend, I think we're going to, desist from this activity. So then, when he went to visit her at home, the girl's parents got on his case. What do you think you're doing? What are you not doing? What are you trying to not do with our daughter? Well, what do you think it's all about? Get to work. Get busy. This is what's going on. These things are normal. It's not like these are, freakish events. It is so normal for 14 and 15-year-olds to participate in all four sinful activities. And they're persecuted if they don't. Now, what kind of society can you expect when they get older and have children? What are they going to tell their children? Today's parents have no idea what to tell their kids. The only mantra they can give them is this. Whatever you do, just be happy, as long as you're happy. That's all they can say. They can't even present primitive, meat-eater morality to them anymore. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. They don't even say that anymore. Just whatever you do, just as long as you're happy. That's it. So each generation is getting further and further out. How can you even have a material society with such going on? How will society stay together? Other than become a law and order state run heavily by the police? It's not possible. And those who control financial interests, they're concerned. Well, we want society to stay together so that we can make our money. So how are we going to do that? If there's no culture, there's no religion holding the people together, well, it will have to be very strong law enforcement. That's it. This is the age of Kali happening right before our eyes. It doesn't give us anything to be proud of. If someone gets a chance to perform devotional service, then they can become significant. But we should never think that we are significant. Every time you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll read how the devotees present themselves to Lord Chaitanya at a time. I am fallen, I am sinful, all my associates are low class. That is how Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya. Nij jati nij sanghi patita adhama. I'm low born, my associates are low class. I've spent my life sunk deep in the well of sinful material. With all these disqualifications, how can I know what's good for me? This is the proper way to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding how precious it is to be a servant of Krishna, we try to purify ourselves. We use our intelligence to arrange for our purification so that we can become qualified servitors of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every goal takes an effort. Whether you're going to the polytech or the university, studying at home, you have to put in some effort to achieve something in the future. Whether you've opened up a business or you want to be a sports star, you have to go through certain regimens so that you achieve your goal. Now, we should do that in Krishna consciousness. That is what the process is all about. You achieve your goal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by adopting necessary regimens, processes, and then your senses will become purified and you can start to perceive Krishna. It is not that we are simply into austerity just for the sake of austerity. No. Our austerity is giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. In order to see what is Krishna's pleasure, you need a background of qualification. That qualification means you're not blinded by your own desires. You can actually see Krishna's pleasure. In order not to be blinded by your own desires, you've had to have some purification. Restraint. Purification begins with restraint. That even though my senses are demanding something, I say no, because my senses are meant for Krishna's pleasure. There's no way around it. There must be restraint. Then there can be advancement. Once we become accustomed to restraining our senses, controlling our senses, then things start to clear up a bit. We can start to see the goal more clearly. Without controlling the senses, you can't even see the goal. That's why the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham ta antikatam papam janana punyakarmana. Only those who have made an antikata papa, complete stop to sinful activity, they can actually engage in devotional service with determination. And our goal should be to engage in devotional service with determination. Now, how are we going to achieve that goal? We need a practical program. Each individual, every one of us should have a practical program. How am I going to be qualified? How am I going to attain the qualifications to be a bona fide servant of Krishna? Serving Krishna is not an ordinary thing. And we should have it in mind to achieve that status. We should not think it's cheap. We should understand that Although it's our eternal constitutional position to serve Krishna, we're far from it, and therefore we have to adopt remedial techniques. We have to adopt purification processes. And that becomes our joy, because we know, in this way, I'm going to be qualified to serve Krishna. It becomes a joy following devotional practices, because we know, I'll be a qualified servant of Krishna. And in fact, I'm serving Krishna now, although I may not be able to sense that completely. Still, my goal is that I will become qualified to receive Krishna's pleasure, and then I can be a much better servant. Obviously, if you can perceive someone's pleasure, what they like and don't like, you'll be able to give them pleasure there. So we want to become qualified to see at every moment what gives Krishna pleasure. Then we'll obviously be better servants. But to be able to see Krishna's pleasure is not an ordinary thing. And there is no way we can do that as long as we're overrun by turbulence of the mind and body. Therefore, we need to situate ourselves properly so that we can achieve that goal. How to become a servant of Krishna. A steady servant of Krishna. Not fired up one day and down the next, enthusiastic for a couple of years and drop out of sight. No. We need to sort ourselves out with guidance. How to go the long distance. We should not think immediately. Just because we're fortunate to read Srimad Bhagavatam, we're fortunate to sit before the deities, we shouldn't think immediately, oh, I'm a complete servant of Krishna. That's very high to be a servant of Krishna. Yes, the Lord is accepting our service by the grace of the simple succession. Still, we should think, I have to get myself together. Because of Lord Chaitanya, I've got the opportunity, even though I don't deserve it. Now let me become qualified to stick with this opportunity. Krishna is not very liberal, but when Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya, he freely distributes himself. So now we've got the results of the free distribution, we have to do our part. Lochana Das Thakur phrase, Vishaya Chadiya Seva Semajiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. If you want to go on chanting Hari Hari, then Vishayakshadiya, you have to have a program how to give up sense gratification. That's what you think about after Lord Chaitanya gives you the taste. Padama Karuna Pahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. The two avatars, Chaitanya and Nitai, they are the essence of all incarnations, all appearances of Krishna. Sava avatars, Sashiramani, Kevala Anandakanda. They come to distribute the kanda, the path of Kevala Ananda, pure bliss, uncontaminated by material energy. They give you that taste, and then they ask one thing. After you taste it, please adopt the program of purification. Vishaya Chariya Seva Seva. Then you'll be able to go on with that taste. Mukhi Bolo Hari Hari, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So we need to become career-minded about bhakti. It is the most exalted profession. It is the most exalted career to become a servant of Krishna. So let's do what we have to do to stabilize ourselves and make progress. But indeed, the point is to make progress. According to our particular nature, according to our situations, we need guidance how to push ahead. The goal is purification. You see, because we are in touch with the nine processes of devotional service, it's not that you have to worry about, well, first I have to be purified without any connection with Krishna, and then one day I'll be connected to Krishna. No. The fact is, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, one purport, even the neophyte in Krishna consciousness is unconsciously liberated. Now what does that mean? It means, whether you're advanced or a neophyte, the fact is you are sitting before Krishna. Whether you are advanced or the newest neophyte, the fact is you are associating with Krishna through sound, the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam. The point, though, is, in the beginning, you're not aware of what you're dealing with. You have only a slight understanding. I'm sitting before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the same as in Vaikuntha. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. This is directly associating with Krishna. In the beginning, we're not completely aware of those things. But as we become purified, our awareness increases. Our Krishna consciousness increases. Then you begin to understand, I am in touch with Krishna. Once that understanding dawns, you start to like becoming purified. Because you know, the more purified I am, the more I'll be able to serve Krishna with qualification. People think, the more you go to the university, the more you know. So therefore, some people do that. Or else they're thinking, the more you go to the university, the more chances you have to make money. There's always some goal, some motivation. Well, there is motivation in bhakti also. The more we become purified in devotional service, the more we'll be able to perceive what is Krishna's pleasure. Wouldn't that be wonderful to, without confusion, to be able to know what is Krishna the best pleasure at every moment? That is what we are training for. In the beginning, we're guided by Shastra and the spiritual master. And by their blessings, in the future, the Super Soul himself will give you guidance how to give Krishna pleasure. But that is the name of the game. How to use my senses to give pleasure to Krishna's senses. I want to be qualified to do that. Any person in this world you're trying to please, you think, what do they want? In Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchalila, you can read about Lord Chaitanya saying to Haridas Thakur, how will all these people in the age of Kali be delivered? They're absorbed in sinful activity. What will be done with them? This is the Lord himself wondering, how these people can get any benefit? Haridas Thakur immediately senses that the Lord has transcendental anxiety for his parts and parcels. So, as a dear devotee of the Lord, Haridas Thakur understands that his job is to relieve the transcendental anxiety of the Supreme Lord for his parts and parcels. Prabhupada in the purport points out that every sincere devotee should take into account one of the Lord's desires, how to relieve the Lord of his transcendental anxiety. That's the job of the devotee. Once we make a program for purifying ourselves, then Krishna consciousness is not difficult to understand. Just like here, Brahma is telling Narada, describe the science of Godhead with determination, and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service under the personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Prabhupada points out that before the age of Kali, there wasn't any need for such a book of knowledge. This is another crazy notion of Western so-called civilization. That when there is writing and books, that means that people are more intelligent. The Vedic conclusion is just the opposite. When there's writing and books, you know things have gone down. Writing and books means people's memories have degraded. And why have the memories degraded? Because of sinful activity. Otherwise, in normal times in this world, it is not necessary to write things down. The written shastra, that is Krishna's mercy on us, because memories in this age are so short. Why are the memories short? Because of sinful activity. We should meditate from time to time what the actual results of sinful activity are. We should not forget. Even in things like health, our memories, our intelligence, if you can begin to understand how sinful activity affects those things, then you'll... Sinful activity is destroying your body and mind. Destroying your intelligence. But because we're proud Westerners, we think, well, I'm sharp. You know, I've got a good brain. I mean, okay, I may act this way, I may not act that way, but still, I can understand. This is Western, the Western system. Never mind what you do. If you've got an IQ, you can understand. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Bhakya Lalami Janati. Only by devotional service can you understand me. So Prabhupada always points out, how is it that the greatest professors in the world can take Bhagavad Gita and miss the point completely? Because you know bhakti. Mundane scholars, they criticize, oh, your version of Bhagavad Gita is too much Krishna. Now the book is spoken by Krishna. Now how do you say it's too much Krishna? You go to various so-called yoga groups, self-realization groups, they all say the same thing. Yes, we use Bhagavad Gita, but your interpretation is just too much Krishna. How do you avoid Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? When Krishna is saying, surrender to me. Think of me always. Worship me always. How do you avoid Krishna? This shows you, with your intelligence, with mundane intelligence, you cannot understand bhakti. You can't understand Bhagavad Gita. Something else is required. Otherwise, why haven't the greatest professors in the world surrendered? Why can't they just pick up a Bhagavad Gita? Oh, yes. No, can't do that. Because the consciousness is destroyed by sinful activity. Therefore, it is not an exaggeration to say that anyone in this room, even the kids, they are more intelligent than the greatest professor. It's not Hari talk. Oh, that's what the Haris say. They're always exhorting one another like that. It is true. What is the standard of intelligence to understand Krishna? How do you understand Krishna? Through bhakti. Krishna is beyond your material research capacity. And the proof of that is quite obvious. Professors, they cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. There's so many yogas presented by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Why do you stress bhakti? Ask that question again and again. What about Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga? Why bhakti? That is particularly the interpretation of the Hare Krishna. And why is it that by Krishna's grace and Krishna's devotee's grace, we're understanding Bhagavad Gita? First of all, we're hearing from authorized source, and secondly, we're performing devotional service. Because the service is going to Krishna, your brains become clear. You please the Supreme Lord. Therefore, for a devotee, it's easy to understand Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna says, we do. Some people consider that being dogmatic, that we don't waver. We don't waver because Krishna doesn't waver. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Once you know the cause, you know everything that comes from the cause. Because we don't say, well, yeah, whatever, it could be this, it could be that, well, I reckon, and so on and so forth. We don't do like that. We say, Krishna said such and such, and people become upset. Oh. That can't be really spiritual. You're too definite. You're too convinced. You're too sure of yourself. But we are sure of Krishna. And you can also be sure of Krishna. You take up the process of bhakti, you'll become sure of Krishna. That's what we call the science. This dharma can be directly perceived by the senses, but not your material senses. Any honest or honest-minded, humble person, knowing nothing, as soon as they come into the temple room, they can perceive something is going on here. They're not just statues there. And gradually, as you become purified, you begin to appreciate the presence of the Supreme Lord in deity form. But you can see time and time again, any humble person, when they come into the temple room, they don't understand a clue of what's going on, but they feel a very devotional atmosphere. They feel there's something special about that altar. They are standing in front of Krishna, and if they bow down to Krishna, that is their eternal benefit, even though they know nothing. If they just appreciate, oh, the nice flowers, boundless curses on the altar. That is also appreciation of Krishna. But Prabhupada said in Australia about his books, he said if you're distributing a book to someone and they just take the book in their hands and say, oh, this is a nice book. They don't buy it. They say, oh, this is nice. And hand it back. Prabhupada explained that's enough to give them a human form of life in the next birth. You are contacting Krishna, whether you know it or not. Now, our process of purification is for becoming conscious that we're in contact with Krishna. We want to become qualified servants. That means being conscious of Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. That is the most sublime occupation. And that is worthy of our life planning, our career goals. How to do that? How to go the distance? That should be our thought. We have to endeavor with intelligence. The endeavor must be there. The enthusiasm must be there. But naturally it has to be tempered with knowledge. And we should take experience. Take advantage of the experiences of others. For how to push ahead. But we must push ahead. Because we want to be servants of Krishna. Service to Krishna is such an elevated position that Krishna becomes conquered by service. So we are concerned with careers. We are concerned with plans. We are concerned with guidance. Because we want to achieve the goal. Be clear about the goal and make plans accordingly. Understanding that to be a servant of Krishna is a very special thing and we need qualification. Even in our beginning stage, we are in contact with Krishna, but we want to become conscious of that more so we can give Krishna pleasure. You guys have any questions? You're making plans of how to be purified? Really? What? What's that? Very good. All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, you can stay on it for a minute.